We put out a pod every single week, consistently 52 weeks plus at this point in a row. We are putting out clips every single week on our social media pages.
How much?
One a day.
One per platform?
Yes.
Same clip?
Same clip. So we have
same copy, same clip?
7 to 9 posts a week.
Yeah. That is disproportionately the first place to focus on.
Attention is the number one asset.
There's a bunch of things I want to get into, but I do understand where you are in, you know, a little bit of limited time. So the first thing I want to ask you is actually something that I think applies to a lot of people. It's a little bit different than the traditional question you're probably asked, but it very much applies to me right now. So I want to kind of look at this as a consultation question straight up.
Happy to do it.
We've been at this for 10 months. We're of the impression our production definitely is top notch. That's just a,
yes,
a factual
yep.
thing.
Yep.
Then we have, we're of the belief that we have the sauce. Our following is a very, very loyal following. But at the end of the day, we have been stuck at 12,000 Orthodox Jewish followers. And we've had on a lot of, yeah, it's not exactly what I'm trying to do, but like within the community, like,
it's
people love us. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like we were just in Israel over the holidays.
Yep.
And like kids in the street.
You felt it.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And but at the end of the day, we're just like we've had on some very notable names, but we're not breaking out of the Jewish, like the regular Jewish community. And that's really what I'm looking for right now. And that's literally what I'm up against. And I think that probably applies.
How are you trying to?
So given how saturated the market is obviously with content right now, I felt that good production would be an easy controllable factor in order to move us, like kind of bring us more eyes quicker and just jump out to the subconscious, well, these guys are legitimate. We put out a pod every single week, consistently 52 weeks plus at this point in a row. We are putting out clips every single week on our social media pages.
How much?
One a day.
On all social media?
At least one a day.
On one per platform?
Yes.
Same clip?
Same clip, so we have
same copy, same clip?
7 to 9 posts a week,
yeah.
And we post
that
on.
That is disproportionately the first place to focus on.
Okay.
You know, the reality is organic social is now foundational to awareness, especially with the way the algorithms are going. You genuinely actually are one TikTok clip away from quadrupling your audience, though that's much harder than it was 36 months ago, but it's not impossible. So if you're making a clip for social, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable spot because you're not making the clip for the distribution. So you can imagine, given the community and me knowing a little bit about it, if you're speaking to a room full of people in Brooklyn, in the community, that might be a different speech than if you went to Babson and spoke to the students at Babson about entrepreneurship. It would be different.
Mm-hmm.
You would use less Yiddish words, you would have different references, it would be contextual. The fact that you're taking a single clip and then posting that on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, I gotta find out from you which ones, but immediately, as you can imagine, a heavily, you know, Hasidic, joked out, referenced out talk in Alabama at a Walmart isn't gonna land the same way. And by taking a clip and posting the same thing on Twitter that you're posting on Instagram, they won't land the same way. So the biggest mistake people make in social is they look at it as purely distribution and they just wanna put something out on it and they want it to go out. When in reality, understanding best practices creatively and analytically per platform is imperative for you to break out.
Got it.
If you want to win TikTok, for example, you have to respect TikTok. Just like you being part of this community, you know when people come from the outside and try to sell the community, yeah, you're laughing already. It's impossible if they're not respectful to the context or the tone.
So you're saying diversify what we're putting out, tailor make it to each audience.
Ready for this? This production is incredible. I would mail this in return if I could get you to give this level of financial vigor and emphasis on what time you post, what the copy is, where you post, and upping your output across the 7 platforms that matter. I'm about this life, this is amazing, but this is wildly, enormously secondary for you to get awareness to proper social media strategy around the creative per platform.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So first of all, a lot
that's
of stuff.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
Another thing is live. I'm devastated that I'm too busy to be a streamer. Mm. I'm gonna say that nice and slow for Dustin.
What?
I am devastated that I am too busy to be a streamer. I have told the story over and over of Twitter and YouTube being the foundation of the Gary Vee brand, which is absolutely true. That 2006 to 2010 moment was real. I had forgotten, actually forgotten, that the 6 or 9 months that I was really flirting somewhat aggressively, not as consistent as Twitter and YouTube, with Ustream, which in essence is Twitch and Kick and TikTok Live right now, I forgot how big that was. I believe that if I had time and wasn't actually running businesses and was actually doing the Gary Vee thing that I think most people think I do for a living,
right,
I would probably stream for 12 hours a day.
Oh, really?
I would. And so the other thing to think about is your live strategy. You know, I think the depths that come along with audience engagement in live and streaming is profound. You're much more interactive. No longer are they consuming. They're,
well, they feel like they're part of it. It's more parasocial relationship.
You sound like also you're making a big distinction between live and vlogging, right? Those two totally
separate
things.
Vlogging is episodic. It was huge for me.
Daily Vee interactive.
Definitely another, you know, there'll be a time where I get a little older and I'll sum it all up and I'll talk about the chapters of growth. Daily Vee will be in there. It's huge for me. No, I'm talking about streaming and live.
Got it. So one last thing on this topic is, so we have been very focused on putting out content that is not just orthodox based, like that's
makes
applicable
sense
to the whole world.
Of course, if you want to go broad.
It's, right, but it sounds like what you're saying is that we have to respect the individual platforms. That's one,
correct,
from getting that correctly. And also
the one slang, right? Like all of us are going to act differently in this room than we would act if we all met up for a business meeting at Tao at midnight.
Right.
There's a different, slightly right, different version of us. That's how these platforms are. The words, the slang, even the content you make, things that are trending, things that are in the know. TikTok's a little bit younger than Instagram. Instagram's
right,
Facebook's a little older than Instagram. All three of those need slightly different things. You know, even within the Hasidic community, what you're posting on Facebook should be really crushing for the 70-year-old Yentas more so than the 16-year-old you guys coming up.
Do you think we should, but it's trying to get everyone not as, would you say the niche, like, I always hear keep your audience as niche as possible.
Your opening question was to broaden your audience.
No, but I'm saying outside, our main focus is 18 to 35, you know, just in the world.
Well, good. I mean, that's an old television thing, right? You guys are all in this pocket. 18 and 35 are like two different human beings.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Different slang, different interests.
They don't talk to each other anymore.
Yeah, so I think the biggest obvious thing that will help you dramatically is if you reverse it. I believe what's happening between production value and this show is that you're putting an enormous amount of emphasis to this, mm-hmm, which I love. It's important. But you're viewing, like most people, you're viewing social as a distribution instead of like an actual place to like really cultivate. It's you're using like email, press send, get out there, find
into
us, yeah, instead of like really understanding how to do that super well. I think two to three posts a day on all the platforms. Facebook's a monster. People continue to underestimate it. Then there's Facebook InFeed, then there's Facebook Reels. There's Instagram InFeed, there's Instagram Reels, there's Instagram Stories.
Right.
Like there's so much.
How big of an editing team do you think you need to put out the consistent amount of, once you understand, let's just say, actually what each platform is needed.
It all depends on how you do it. I mean, you know, where you're at in your careers now, I believe that because I get 5 emails a day from 17-year-olds in the community willing to work for free, if you had so many kids roll up on you on Israel, I have a feeling you could have 3 tomorrow for an internship and pay them minimum wage or put them on or give them experience.
Right.
You know, it all depends on how much it costs. What, you know, you get an editor from Disney, they're gonna cost you $200,000, that means you have none.
Right,
you know,
right.
You get 3 kids at 17 that are good at it.
To build an Orthodox Jewish army of editors.
it's really real talk. Like we've taken it, you know, Dustin knows, like we used to do it all here now, but I'm a global creator editor team all over the world. Costs are different, time zones, we want to be 24/7.
Right.
But the mistake people make is they will buy these lights. I've never had these lights in my career.
Right.
Which, by the way, again, I do not want to demonize it because I think it's fucking epic, but to me it's secondary to getting people to know who the fuck you are.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And you're making the discrepancy between the distribution and the engagement, meaning we're looking at it as like distribution will give us the opportunity to get engagement, rather than the actual content that we're putting out is gonna be what is engaging by Taylor making it.
You're one TikTok that's right away from everything changing.
I'm an extremely focused, aggressive, just bottom line type of human being. And
you're ambitious and hungry and focused and driven.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say those things are very much true.
Me too.
And one of my biggest challenges is working with a team and being like more, so to speak, gentle, if you want to call it, with them. So this way, like most people honestly can't handle the intensity.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the intensity is probably not a problem to handle.
Okay.
It's potentially the combativeness, the lack of selflessness, the empathy, it's the other soft skills. Intensity is incredibly easy to deal with when it's intense love and safety.
Right.
And deliciousness.
Well said.
You know, the energy's not the issue.
All right, guys, that's it.
But you know what's funny, brother? How old are you?
I'm 29.
Yeah, bro, you're such a young man. Like, this is where you need to make some decisions. You need a couple things. I think I'm excited we're going here. You have to make some decisions at 29. And you have plenty of time. You can make these decisions at 39 too. But by the time you get to 39, you're gonna wanna make this decision, which is the following. How would you like it to be? Meaning, there's an incredibly obvious correlation on this, which is likability, what you're actually bringing to everyone around you. Like, there's many ways to build the biggest building in town. I say this a lot. If you watch my content, maybe you've heard this. Like, either you just have the talent to build the biggest buildings, or you spend your time tearing down everyone else's building, and your building's actually not that big.
Right.
My belief system is, when one excuses their behavior on things like ambition or driven or focus, and don't really break it down to its pure form, which is, what is it that you're thinking when you're too intense for them? Is it that you believe if you pay someone that they owe you? And this is an incredible challenge for people that are bosses. I don't believe just because I pay Dustin that gives me carte blanche to make it not good.
To make what not good, basically? To be an asshole, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course not.
You know what I mean?
Obviously.
And asshole comes in a lot of shapes and sizes. Like, even just the way you're talking, I don't believe that you're like blindly on the side of like being a dick face. But, you know.
Yes, I can't speak for that.
You know, I think the thing to think through is.
More like a dick elbow, he's not.
Here's a good one. For example, it is incredibly clear that most people, governments, parents, bosses, humans, love using fear to get things done.
Right.
It's easy, it's cheap, it's quick, and it is 100% of where resentment comes from. Right, so I think a lot about that. You know, and so like the question becomes like, how would you like it to play out? Like, would you like to have $100 million but very few people like you? Is it better to have $80 million, not $100, but everyone loves you? Some people don't give a shit.
Maybe you could have $500 million if you do it properly and play the long game.
There's a million ways, right? Is it dollars? Is it like, what does bring the joy? I'll give you an example. What's really intriguing about me to me is I just love the game. Like I'll take the money, but it's crazy. By comparison to a lot of my contemporaries, my relationship with the money is very different.
I totally hear that.
It's like the trading cards game with you and like the
No, honestly for me,
the garage sale.
Yeah, bro, the garage sale stuff is such a fucking preview into my soul. Like, I'm genuinely, no bullshit, more excited to find a $2 item in a garage sale in New Jersey that's worth $38 on eBay than when I do a $7 million deal here at Vayner. And it's not even close.
What's the difference in those two?
The thrill of the hunt.
Why is the hunt of making that deal, let's say the one that got you more money, not as enjoyable?
Because there's no surprise here.
Got it.
You know, like the element of the game.
Yeah,
like, and just even like the pride I have in like knowing. Like, the knowing is really exciting.
Last thing, Gary, in your pursuit of success.
Yes.
Is there anything that you have done that you have regretted? Because it's difficult.
Of course. I spent my entire 20s working in a liquor store 97 hours a week and did nothing.
I was saying more morally, but why?
Oh, more morally, like when you
no,
got...
because I don't need anything from anyone.
Oh yeah, maybe you made a mistake. I don't know.
Oh,
35, I don't really... I'm not saying that's a small mistake.
I don't think lack of candor in firing people without setting them up properly, I'm not sure if that's a moral... I don't know if I put that in the category subjectively judging myself if I did something morally wrong. I'm embarrassed that I didn't have the emotional strength to be more upfront with people. The counter to like when I'm like saying, oh, you don't, you know, what I admire from people that my dad, even though he delivered it like a fucking very inappropriately, I respected that he shot it straight, but everyone felt like shit.
Right.
That was a weakness of my candor was my biggest weakness. Ironically, Gary Vee, the public figure, crushes candor. But one-on-one, if I start caring about you, I struggle delivering. So morally, I've never like stole someone's money or like, I just never, here's the thing. Unlike a lot of other ambitious people, I had such a great mother that I didn't need it for my self-esteem.
Right.
I needed it for, actually, do you know what I've come to realize? I'm just curious of how good I am. To me, this is one big game of curiosity.
Right.
Like I'm trying to just figure out when it's all said and done, like where did I rank?
Where the chip's gonna
land. Yeah, it's like it's a game. Yeah.
No, I totally get
that. To me, most people look for success.
As a dollar sign, yeah.
As a badge to leverage against.
Right.
It's why people buy Mercedes.
Right.
It's why people wear Louis Vuitton. It's all fucking badging.
I don't have a car.
You know? It's a Gucci
bag. Got her on the train. You know? Gary.
But I really believe it's social signaling often to hide an insecurity. Other times people just genuinely love fashion and they genuinely love driving the car. But I think a lot about the world from a selfish, selfless standpoint like we touched on. And then the other biggest thing I think is confidence and security. I think if you look at those four things and you really look at them, you can get the answers to almost everything.
One last thing. How do you have so much confidence in your goodness?
Because I have fucking 45 years of looking at it. Because I see it in my son. When somebody trips during a game, he can't help but just stop, even though he wants to win. It's in him. I got lucky.
Do you think
when people talk about luck, I don't talk about luck with money. I talk about luck of what my personality played out to be. I just have natural compassion. I know I'm nice. Like, you know,
you had a good mom, man.
I have a great mom, and I also had great DNA, and then I also got great circumstances. I got a lot of shit out.
Sounds Jewish.
Yeah, it's true though. But you know this, where my mom did well, that a lot of cliche Jewish moms don't do well is, but she held me accountable. You know, that delusion when you're like, yeah, you're good at everything and you're always right, that shit doesn't work.
Yeah.
That shit doesn't work. You know, what my mom did was like, you're the best, but when I did wrong shit, she punched me in the face. Like actually like kind of like really 80s style. Plus I grew up in the 80s. In the 80s, when I had issues, here's a nice Jewish name, when I fought Oded Weinstock three times between third and sixth grade, I learned how to deal with conflict.
Fucking Weinstock.
You know, me and Oded fought. Like we were in it. It was a different world. We're now all in our kids' shit. Kids can't fucking breathe without their parents fighting every battle for them, paying for everything. It's all fucking out of whack.
It's like you know that you have the confidence because you know that you've gone through.
Because I've been on my own two feet. Because I don't need anybody emotionally or financially. Do you know what it feels like to not need anyone emotionally or financially? That's life. There is nothing else. Most people are not fortunate enough to have both down.
Gary, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Gary. Thank you. I appreciate the one.